As I was praying this week, a question rose up in my mind concerning how determined are we to keep pushing through until we get the answer. We have we've come through a time in the charismatic movement where we've taught what we call the word of faith. And the word of faith was valuable because it really got us focused on what the word has to say about what we believe for. The problem that developed in that was kind of a passive mentality that I'm just going to confess the word until I get what I want. And there's obviously value in that because we need to make sure that our conversation always aligns with the word of God. And if we're believing God for this, we need to be talking what the Word says. And so that there's a place for that. But what I believe has happened in many places, and we're no exception, is that it can develop a mindset that we're just going to relax until God brings forth the answer. And there's clearly a need to relax in God, to have peace in Him, knowing that He's bringing about the answer. But there's another side of getting from where we're at to where the answer is manifested, and the Bible portrays that picture as warfare. Warfare is not won through a passive approach to what we're dealing with. Warfare is an aggressive stance that sometimes we need to understand that God expects out of us. A case in point is that Paul says that we are co-laborers together with the Lord, which is to say that there are times when we need to make a move beyond just passively waiting for God to bring about an answer. A case in point is like if there's a relationship that has a problem to it. I can pray all I want for the person that I need to be reconciled to. We need to pray that way. Lord, you know, we need to be reconciled. Bring healing to the brokenness in the relationship, and of course, part of my thinking along that line is a gal that was in one of my classes over in Saginaw notified everybody that on her friends list that her husband walked in last week and said he was all done with the marriage, wanted out, and left her with three kids. And I just broken relationships have been on my mind this week. But oftentimes we want God to heal the broken relationship, but sometimes God wants us to make an effort to assist that, such as, unknown to men in particular, is, I'm sorry. Now, you leave George alone. This is not just for him, okay? But the point being is that if I want a broken relationship to be healed, I can pray all I want for that to be healed, but God may want me to go and initiate it by apologizing, asking for forgiveness. And really, the biggest problem in the church today, in my opinion, is brokenness in our relationships. We just allow a lot of things to break up and fail to realize that, you know, there's strength in unity. There's weakness in division. And when the body of Christ is divided up, it produces weakness. It doesn't produce strength. There's a whole lot more accomplished when we put our resources together to accomplish the goal of the church than it is to divide because we can't agree on doctrinal issues. Now, so as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, the Apostle Paul speaks to us in this particular instance. I'm going to share a couple of the scriptures in closing. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says, this charge I commit to you, Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before you, that by them, that you by them war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, kind of taking that last portion out of the way and just dealing with the principle that he's talking about here. Number one, every moment that we take to deal with issues in our life has to start with a word from God. That word may come from a prophecy, a word of prophecy, gift of the Holy Spirit. But more often than not, prophetic word comes to us as we read the scripture. Remember, the word prophecy, its primary meaning means to share or to give, to speak forth the mind and will of God. Now, the mind and will of God may come through a word of prophecy. It may come through a preaching of the word, which is prophetic in nature. Or it may come, and more often does, as we read the scripture and we hear what and we read what the word says, oh, that's what God says. Am I making sense here? And so it begins, so with Timothy, the Bible doesn't explain what those prophetic words were. Now, obviously the Bible hadn't been written at that time. Paul was in the process of writing it, as were the writers of the gospel. So it had not been combined. So we can only presume that it was really a spoken word that God gave him from Paul's lips. But looking back on 2,000 years of history, we can receive a word of prophecy when we sit down and read the word. And God foretells the mind and will and the counsels of God to our hearts. And what Paul is saying to Timothy is that's your beginning point. You see, if we don't start with the word, we're going to start with somebody's error. The only perfect thing out there is the word. All right? When you get something from somebody else, you are receiving a word, might be receiving a word from God through their filter. You still can't act upon it until it works through your filter. In other words, you don't act on other people's prophecy for you. You receive other people's prophecy and then you take it to prayer. See, Paul says, let one speak and then let another judge. You have to judge that what you've heard from God, from somebody else, is for you. Don't automatically assume that when you hear a word of prophecy, that's automatically a word from God. It can be a word of God. Hopefully it is a word from God. But it's not a word from God to you until you sit down and let the Holy Spirit speak that word to you. Understand what I'm saying, okay? So Paul is saying to Timothy, you start with the prophecy, and I want you to take these words and war a good warfare. War a good warfare. Now, folks, I don't know if you think about it often, but we're not in a laid-back mentality for the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus spoke to the disciples. And remember, I told you that he spoke to them at a place where the backdrop was an ungodly system of false worship to sensual gods. And Jesus asked the disciples, he said, in view of that, who do people say that I am? Remember that? And they told him different people. And Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, but you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, based upon that revelation, I'm going to build my church. Now, Jesus didn't build the church for us to have a place to run. Okay? The church is not a building. The church is people. Everybody go like this. Lord, I'm looking for the church. Oh, I found it. See, you're the church. This building's not the church. It's a building. All right? So Jesus was saying, I'm going to build my church, and here's the purpose. You are going to advance toward the strongholds of Satan, called the gates of hell, the place or realm of authority. Now, as I was thinking about this today, or this week, but primarily this morning, is that we need to understand that when we pray, let's say, for instance, pray for people's healing needs, or pray for people to respond and come back to the Lord like they should. We need to understand that, as Paul said, we don't war against flesh and blood, but we war against spiritual powers, wickedness in high places that control and rule people's lives. So our warfare, our advancement towards the enemy is not towards people, but it's towards the spiritual forces that control their lives. So we need to understand then that when we war a good warfare, we need to see that there is an object in mind. I'm part of the church. And my responsibility is to take the mandate that Jesus gave us and advance towards the enemy. And he says, when you advance forward, he says, the realms of authority of Hades will not be able to withstand you. If we look at this from my perspective, then, which we always know is right, okay? But my perspective is that when I'm praying, I was praying for Don Schutz. We know that Don had a stroke. The left side of his body, his arm, and his legs, for the most part, is they don't understand it. Because for the most part, he can't move it. I was over there on Friday. So on Thursday, they were doing therapy. And they've got a lot of apparatuses to help these people walk and develop. And all of a sudden, he took off walking with this left leg that's not supposed to work. Now, he's still having problems with it, so he's not to the point that I believe God wants him to be. But I'm saying that as I was praying for him this week, I was saying, Lord, I curse the authority that seeks to rule his body. I wasn't just saying, Lord, heal him, because we've asked the Lord to heal him 25 times. Okay? And it's not you can't ask God to do something more than once. But I was saying, Lord, as I'm praying for Don, I'm declaring, and I said the same thing for Bernie, Lord, I ask you to destroy the spiritual forces that rule their physical bodies. Because it's not just a physical issue that has paralyzed them, but it's a spiritual issue that came with Adam and Eve's sin, called the iniquity of sin in this world. It's a spiritual issue. It's not just a physical issue, but it's a spiritual issue. Now, I'm not talking about casting demons out of people who are sick. I'm just simply saying that we need to understand that sickness just doesn't show up. There's a spirit that we in this world that is opposed to God that seeks to destroy and captivate people's bodies. So as I was praying, I said, Lord, I declare in Jesus' name that the controlling forces that are ruling Don's body are broken. Now, I could simply lay back and say, well, we're just going to confess that Don's healed. Well, I can keep confessing Don's healed, and Don may not get healed. Sometimes it's a warfare we need to engage. And we as charismatic faith people sometimes get lazy in our faith, thinking, I can just speak a few words and that's all that matters. Well, there needs to be an intensity with which we recognize that issues that people are held captive to require more than just simply a passive approach, but I advance towards the strongholds of the enemy and declare in Jesus' name his power over Don and Marty are broken in the name of Jesus. I was thinking, how many of you parents have adult children that aren't walking with God today? They're walking in, they're just flat out rebels. And remember, rebellion can be really aggressive or passive, but it's nonetheless, if you're walking your own path instead of God's, you're walking in rebellion. Okay? But sometimes we take a passive approach to very vital issues such as the salvation or fellowship with God of our children, and we just kind of, well, I'm just believing God. Well, okay, wonderful. Believe God. But there's more of an aggressive posture you can take in dealing with this than simply saying, I'm believing God's going to do something. You can start saying, Father, I'm declaring in my prayer life, I'm declaring, Father, the spiritual forces that rule my children are being broken in Jesus' name. It's not just a matter of hoping that that God finally penetrates their heart. It's declaring that there's a warfare going on. And the warfare is your faith against the bondages that are holding your children in prison. God wants them free. Do you realize there's enough people in this church that if all your kids were in church, we'd have a hard time holding people? But our kids have just floated away and done their own thing. And we've said, God, I don't want that. God doesn't want it either. Well, I'm just going to keep praying for them. Well, realize that there's a confession of faith we need to make, but then there's that aggressive warfare we need to maintain. He says to him, he says, that you might war a good warfare. War a good warfare. Now, one's a Greek, one's Greek word, one's noun. The war is a verb, and it's to carry out. The root word means to carry out a strategy, and the noun is the strategy that God is going to use. So it's like Father, your plan for them is to get them born again. Lord, I'm going to activate that by faith and declare that path, that war, that strategy of God is coming to pass in their life. It's more than just hoping the kids will come back. It's actively, aggressively posturing yourself to say, Father, I'm declaring that they are a harvest of the seeds of faith that I'm sowing. I'm declaring in Jesus' name that you are bringing them to a place of redemption. And I'm saying, Father, Satan's power over them is being broken, is being unraveled, is being thrown away, and the path for them to come back to God is being cleared of all the garbage that's in the way. You see, remember, Jesus made this statement before this array of false worshiping that represented sensual. You know, some of the biggest problems in your kid's life is their sense realm. Their sensual garbage that's in their life. And if I come to God, I can't do my drugs. I can't do my alcohol. I can't even do sex with my friends. I mean, it's just like, boy, if I come to God, it's going to be a real boring life. You hear what I'm saying? The world thinks like that. They think one of the most boring lives to live is the life of a Christian. You can't have any fun. I want you to know something. There's nothing more fulfilling than walking with Jesus. Amen. Nothing. But when I'm walking to fulfill and satisfy my own fleshly desires, what's the deal? It's always temporary. I got to run back to it and get involved in it again to get more of it. With this walk with Jesus, man, at any point in time, just reeks, fills with fulfillment and peace and contentment. Now, a life filled with garbage like that, in other words, given the context in which Jesus made that statement, I see something I never saw before, which is that is a major obstacle to the life of your kids coming back to God. How many would agree with that? Okay, well, praying against that stuff is not going to satisfy the need. Oh, God, I just bind this sensual living. I bind the alcohol. I mean, bind it if you want to. But what has to change is something on the inside of them. And when that spiritual bondage on the inside of them is broken, then they can push the sensuality out of the way because it doesn't mean anything to them anymore. Am I making sense here? All right? So he tells Timothy to war a good warfare. To activate the strategy of the kingdom, which is to come against the strongholds, the central ruling spiritual force in their life. Come against that. In other words, our prayer ought to be, Father, I thank you that you are bringing down spiritual strongholds in their life. Are you hear what I'm saying? Now the next statement is important. He said, holding faith and a good conscience. Holding faith. Now the word holding faith there means to stand your ground. And what's the faith that you're holding? It's your persuasion that God's will is that the spiritual bondages that are in their life are broken. So here's what he's saying. The strategy is that the spiritual forces of the life be broken. To war a good warfare means I've got to stay on that track. And to hold faith means I'm not going to say it just one time and say, no, okay, bless God, we got that taken care of. Until you see the change take place in your life, you've still got a battle to fight. I know God won the battle for us at the cross. I know God says Satan is forever defeated at the cross. I know he gave us the word, and in the word he has literally disarmed Satan's power. I know what the word says, but then there's the other side of this warfare that says, okay, now I'm going to activate, I'm going to put into place the strategy of God. I'm going to say, Father, I'm declaring the spiritual power that are ruling my life are broken in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, I like this. Can you hear me back there? Okay. I know sometimes difficult to hear me. He says, holding faith. Now, grammatically speaking, we can say holding faith and holding a good conscience. Now, we don't understand what the word conscience means most of the time. Most of us think of our conscience as being some little communications room. Where all the stuff that comes through us either makes us feel guilty or we feel okay. You know, you've heard, a clear conscience is a good pillow. You've heard that one, you know. Actually, in the Greek language, a conscience is a place of co-knowledge. Two sets of knowledge. Two sets of value systems, as it were. It's kind of like a clearinghouse. And the clearinghouse is that we as believers go to the Word. So in one part of our conscience is the truth and integrity of the Word of the living God. That's one part of my co-knowledge in my conscience area of my how God made us. You know? We've said, oh, that person, you can just listen to it. They got a guilty conscience. Well, what do we mean by that? Well, I'm going to tell you what we mean by that. Okay, I'm just drawing an artificial, you know, room for you. On one side is this system of godliness and righteousness and the Word of God. On the other side is the knowledge that comes in from the sensual world that we live in. Okay, so on one side it says, be holy for I am holy. On the other side it says, oh, be what you want. If it feels good, do it. Okay? And so what happens is that there's a battle in my conscience. Now, one of the two is going to win out. Either I'm going to submit to what I know the Word of God says, and I'm going to do what's right, or I'm going to reject the Word of God and do what I feel like doing. Okay? Holding a good conscience means rising up and saying, Father, I am not going to allow... And you see, we don't ignore the stuff that's in the world. You see, that's what the monks did. You know, they joined that monastic form of lifestyle. And what they did was they said, world, we don't like you. We can't change you. So we're going to run away. So right over to their monastery. And that's where they lived. And that's where they died. Oh, some of them got together, made some stuff to sell to help support their cause, you know. But for the most part, they had little impact upon the world. Making sense here? Well, I'm saying just the opposite. I'm saying that we don't ignore the messages that come into us from the world. We don't ignore that. We recognize that it's coming, but we declare in Jesus' name, I'm holding to a good conscience, hallelujah. I'm holding to what I know the Word of God says. I'm declaring that what the world says I can do if I feel like it. As far as I'm concerned, that violates the Word of God, and I'm going to stand strong and do what the Word of God says. Amen? Now, concerning then holding fast to what we want God to do, is we recognize that sometimes we can see just the opposite of what we want. It's like we prayed for this situation, it just seems like it's getting worse. Ever had one of those before? I think I'm doing a better job preaching my sermon than you are getting excited about what I'm saying. Holding a good conscience then says, looks like that they're living worse and acting worse than what they were before. Got to make a decision. Do I keep praying or just hope maybe God changes them? Do I keep praying or just... My mother used to do it this way. I don't agree with it, but that's what she did. I just lay them on the altar. You know, you can lay a lot of people on the altar. And I understand the principle behind it as I've turned them over to God. But folks, we just don't turn people over to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We must war a good warfare for them. We must war a good warfare to see the change take place because Satan's power is being broken as we declare the Word of God over them. I didn't know if I was going to hear this stuff this morning. Well, you're hearing it. He said, because you got to remember, Paul is just within a few years of his death. And he's written two-thirds of the New Testament, and he's got a group of guys around him. Timothy is one of his primary people, and he's going to turn it over to Timothy. So he's got to give him some lasting words to declare what's going to take him through the end of his journey. And he says, Timothy, war a good warfare. Don't give up. Don't relax. Recognize that people that God brings into your life, He brings them into your life for the purpose of declaring in the name of Jesus that Satan's power has been broken over them, and you're gonna carry out that strategy until victory comes. So what I want you to consider this morning is stop taking it easy. Now, I don't mean to say that you don't want as much as you wanted before. But I want to challenge you this morning. If you're doing this stuff, fine. I'm not talking to you. But I know I'm talking to people who want God to do the supernatural. But it's a tired war. It's tiring. I will admit it. I go through the same thing. It's like, oh man. Come on, God, when's this, that, and the other going to happen? And God, He answers by saying nothing. Ever had that happen before you? He doesn't answer anything. And if He doesn't answer, then what's the responsibility? Keep doing what you're doing. Now, Paul put it this way, after having done all, stand. Okay? But there's an issue we need to understand that until He changes what you're doing, then keep doing what you're doing. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay, let me close with this. In Ephesians chapter 6, and we know this scripture from, we've talked about it scores and scores of time, but we need to realize that when you're when you are involved in warfare, there's both an offensive and defensive posture that we have. And our offensive one is quite easy. It comes out of our mouth. All right? But the defensive is where the enemy comes in from a variety of avenues and attacks us. And so that's why Paul in this particular scripture says, put on the, in verse 11, Ephesians 6, 11, put on the whole armor of God. Not just part of it, but the whole armor of God. And of course, he lists all the things. The helmet of salvation. Because your brain can really mess you up. Okay? And the breastplate of righteousness. That's where our seat of our emotions are. That's where it's easy to get mad. Because people aren't living the way they ought to. Or things aren't turning out the way we want them to. Then he talks about our feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel. One translation says, the preparation to carry out the gospel of peace. In other words, we need to be ready. Peter puts it this way. He said, be instant in all times, ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that indwells you. So, in other words, it's be instant, in season, and says another place. And then, of course, to keep all this in balance is the girdle of truth. You see, the soldier had to have a belt on to keep all of his armor in place so that what was given to use as defensive protection didn't get in the way and get out of the way. And then, of course, was the shield of faith, the shield that Paul uses to for us to protect the wiles of the word wiles, I've said before, is a Greek word, or methods that Satan uses. Your faith can combat the methods he uses. But the sword of the Spirit is not the written word of God. He says in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word that he uses there is rhema. Not the logos, not the written word of God, but use the spoken word of God. The spoken word of God will be the sword of revelation that will penetrate the attacks of the enemy and brush them aside, push them aside, and continue to enable you to go forward against the strongholds that are controlling those issues you're believing God for, to be able to speak the word of God and have it penetrate the very core of the issues he's dealing with. In other words, warfare is not a passive activity. It's a very aggressive kind of thing. And our aggressiveness needs to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And if our empowerment is not from the Holy Spirit, but just from a mindset, we know we're right, we got to keep doing this, you'll get wore out. That's why your prayer life is so vital. That's why your prayer life is so important. You need to be spending time in your closet of prayer and allow the Holy Spirit to empower you on the inside of you the strategy you are using and to give you confidence that it's going to work. And that it is working right now. Even though your situation may not be changing. That child may not be walking with God. Your physical healing may not be coming to you. Your financial situation may not be working out. Whatever you're praying about may not come. It may not work the way you want it to at any given point in time. And what we have to do is stay focused on the things that God has called us to do, which is to war the warfare that he's given us, and to keep our focus on his plan, not our plan. Your plan will always frustrate you, because your plan seldom will ever work out. Because your plan is already has a deficiency in it. It's called humanity. Hello? Your plan is your brain power. And I don't know if you've discovered it or not, but your brain is kind of limited compared to what God's wisdom can bring about. But as we spend time in the, and I've said this in the past, but I'll say it here, that Jesus walked the earth, walked in the power of the Spirit, not because he was God, though he was, but because he had been empowered in his prayer times with the Father. Remember, the Bible says there were times when he spent all night long in prayer. Here's God, manifest in the flesh, praying all night long. Why would he need to pray all night long if he's God? Because he was walking the earth as a man, empowered by the same Holy Spirit that you and I are empowered by. And so as he needed to depend upon the Holy Spirit, we have to depend upon the Holy Spirit. And when we choose to depend on what we know rather than who we know, you're always going to fall short and you're always going to get bent out of shape because things aren't going to work out the way you want them to. So I want to encourage you today to declare in Jesus' name, I am going to start standing strong to do the warfare that Jesus intends for me to do in his power and not my own. I'm going to do his strategy, carry out his strategy against the enemy the way God wants it to, which is to attack the spiritual forces that rule and control rather than the manifestation of what I see that I don't like. And then, of course, you won't be saying, oh man, I'm so frustrated. I've been believing God for thus and so, and nothing's happened. Let me close with this statement. If you are speaking the Word of God, there is never, ever a time when something's not happening. Hello? There's always something happening. But I haven't seen anything happen. God's Word does not operate according to your perception. God's Word operates according to His plan. And his plan is not always divulged to us. We don't always know what God's plan is. So what does he want us to do? He wants us to walk in faith. Someone told me, asked me, how come thus and so didn't happen? I said, you know, I just don't really know. But there are times when that proves to us that it's a walk of faith, not a walk of sight. If you don't know why things are happening in certain ways, don't worry about it. God didn't give you all knowledge. He didn't give you the gift of knowing everything. He gave you the gift of salvation. And you walk it out by faith. And if you don't see it over the hill, around the corner, don't worry about it. He does. And he knows how to prepare you. And he knows how to empower you. He knows how to give you the wisdom you need and how to function just exactly the way you're supposed to. But it really is important that we recognize that God hasn't changed. God is still the same. The same word that he gave his disciples to advance towards the enemy. And he said, the gates of hell, the authority of Satan's realm of living, will not be able to stand against you. In other words, the illustration I'm giving about praying the strategy of God over your children or over a situation that is before you, folks, that's God's problem, not yours. Your responsibility is keep declaring what the Word says and literally carrying out God's strategy from your heart and from your mind. Let the consequences be God's problem, not yours. There's great peace in that. But there's also peace in knowing I'm not taking this thing laying down. I'm not just casually looking at the obstacles that are in front of me. I'm declaring it with an intensity. God, you are changing situations that I cannot change. I mean, have you discovered you can't get your kids to live the way you want them to? Well, I sure have. And I've got good kids. They're both, in, you know, loving God, doing what they ought to, but I still think they ought to do some things differently. But you know, they don't call me up and say, Dad, we're doing it this way. Is that okay? They just go ahead and just do it the way they want to. Hello? But I love him. And every day I pray for my son. Pray for him, especially on weekends when he's doing ministry. Pray for Wendy. They were on vacation. I'm praying, Lord. You know, sometimes vacation can be a real trying time when you got four kids in the car. And they're boys at that. Yeah, oh boy, he's right. So I've been praying, Lord, bless him. Help him make all the right choices he needs to make. Blah, 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 all the stuff I prayed for him. Amen. Let's all... Thank you, Father. Lord, we need you this morning. Lord, you know what each of us are facing. You know things that are going on in our lives that are challenging and have been just frustrating for us. But Lord, I know that your will, your plan is that what is in your word will be carried out in our lives as a matter of lifestyle. Not just something that would be nice to experience, but as a lifestyle. Living out our faith. Living out the word of God. And living out, Lord God, so that people can see that Jesus is alive. And he's at work in us as one proof of that. Lord, I pray for people here today that your Holy Spirit will speak to them. And help them to understand that there is a greater level of intensity we need to walk in than perhaps what we are. And the greater sense of challenging, warring, rather than just passively wanting things to turn out. But Lord, taking a warfare stance in the direction of our needs. With your heads bowed, could you ask, I'd just like to ask a question. You say, Pastor, I really need to take on more of a warfare mentality towards the issues that are in my life. Could I see your hand? Thank you. Many of you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Well, join somebody's hand, would you? Father, we're agreeing right now with one another that you have called us to war. You've called us to become more intense in our fighting against the control of Satan over the lives of our kids, over the lives of our physical bodies, over issues financially or otherwise in our lives. Lord, we declare in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit is giving us a greater sense of need to become more intense in our approach to these areas. And Father, a sense of confidence that, Lord, you are working on our behalf, even though we may not see anything. And a greater peace of mind that we know that the end result is that you have an outcome. And Father, you are causing things to turn out the way you plan for them to turn out. But we are co-laborers together with you, Father. And I thank you that you're giving us a greater sense of involvement with you in our praying and in our believing and in our warfare, Lord, that your will is going to be carried out in people's lives. Say this with me, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you that your will is being carried out through my praying, through my warfare, in the areas of need that surround my life. In Jesus' name, I declare as a warrior that the battle has been won and that I am to reap the spoils of war as one called. In Jesus' name, give him a praise offering. Father, we praise you. 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 We praise you, Father. We praise you, Lord. Today, Lord God, we glorify you. We worship you. Come on, praise him some more. Father, we praise you. We glorify you, Father. We honor you today, Heavenly Old. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Give somebody a high five. Say, my tomorrows are going to be different. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.